Thank you, guys. If you didn't already, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And if you forgot a Bible this morning, that's okay. You can grab one of ours out of the pew and open up to Romans chapter 4. And we'd like to let you know that if you don't own a Bible, you are more than welcome to take one of ours as a gift from us to you. But important that everybody has a copy of God's Word in their hand this morning. Hey, we're going to be doing something a little bit different today. We're going to be jumping around actually a whole bunch through the Bible today. And the verses aren't going to be up on the screen because we're going to be jumping all over the place. So make sure you have a Bible open and you're with us. We are in Romans 4 this morning, as you just heard. We've just started a Romans series over the last few weeks. And the first few chapters, if you've been here, they've been kind of a little bit tough. And especially the first 2.5 or so weeks, we spent a lot of time learning about judgment and punishment and hell and sin and what all of those things cause in us. And it was kind of a tough 2.5 weeks. Well, last week, if you remember, we turned the corner in the second half of Romans chapter 3, coming to some huge verses where we learned exactly what it is that Jesus does for us. And so simplistically and so beautifully, we got a beautiful picture of the gospel. And so Paul laid it out through verses 21 through 25, just about how salvation is a gift. And how there's nothing we can do to earn it, there's nothing we can do to receive it, that it is a gift from God through faith. And that word's really the word we're going to spend a lot of time on, first in Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to jump to a couple of other places in Scripture this morning. But I thought this morning, because so much of chapter 3 and now chapter 4 are about faith, that we would spend the biggest part of our morning figuring out what faith is. Because faith is kind of one of those words that we throw out all the time, but maybe not one we've wrapped our minds all the way around. And if Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Romans, spends so much time talking about faith, that it is by faith that we're made innocent, by faith that people who were once sinful and invaluable were made of immense value and children of God, that by faith people who were once sinners and who were once in total darkness but are now in the light and are as white as snow. If faith is the key to all of those things, that's the place we play, that's the part we play in our faith, is that we believe and have faith, and we better understand what it is. And it was so important to Paul, actually, that throughout the entire book of Romans, he uses that word faith about 40 times. But just in chapter 3 and 4 alone, he uses it about 20 times. So half of the times that he uses that word is right here in chapter 3 and in chapter 4. And so what we're doing, though, this morning is going to be a little bit different. Normally on a morning like this, as we're going through, we started with John's gospel, as you know. We went through Acts. Now we're in Romans. Normally I go verse by verse, or at least paragraph by paragraph. You guys are used to that. Well, today it's going to be a little bit different, because what I want us to do is I want us to grab a hold of what Paul was teaching. Paul was teaching about faith. And as he went through this letter and wrote this letter to the Romans, he kept coming back to this idea about faith, but specifically, he kept coming back to this man, Abraham. Over and over and over again, he uses this man named Abraham as an example of faith, or almost as a definition of faith. This is what faith is. Look at Abraham. And for the readers who had been reading Romans back then, they would have totally understood everything about Abraham. They looked up to Abraham. Some, almost in some circles, saw him almost as godly, in the sense that they looked up to these Old Testament saints as the perfect example of following the law. And so as Paul is using Abraham through chapter 4 as this example of faith, they would have totally, exactly understood what Paul was getting at. But for us, as we read through chapter 4, and he keeps coming back to Abraham, a man of faith. Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. Abraham, faith, Abraham, faith. Maybe we don't make that same connection that they did. And so what we're going to do this morning is, we just spent a lot of time reading all the way through Romans chapter 4. Deanna and Tony read it. We're going to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 4, but then we're going to jump to another piece of scripture that Paul wrote, and then we're going to jump back into the Old Testament, because I want us to see this picture of faith. Because if it is one of the most important pieces of who we are, if it is the key to unlocking all that God wants to do and give to us, then we better have a really good understanding of faith. And so for 25 verses, that's exactly what Paul does. He talks about faith and what faith brings. and how faithful Abraham was. And if you have your Bibles open, I want you just to see this a little bit. As Paul is bringing this around, I want you to see it. So we're just going to read a few verses. Look at verse 3. It says, For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Skip down to verse 5. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Jump down a few more verses to verse 12. And to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had been had before he was circumcised. Jump down to verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir to the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Verses 20 through 22. No, unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteous. And so you see just in those, what was that, 7 or 8 verses, time and time again, he comes back to 2 things. He comes back to faith, and he comes back to this example of Abraham. And so that's why today, instead of going verse by verse through this and trying to tell you what Paul is getting back to, we're just going to go to it in the Bible where Paul talks about it more and in depth and where he gets the stories from in the Old Testament. And so the first place we're going to jump to is we're going to jump to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have one of our pew Bibles, I was trying to speed this process up because we're going to do a lot of page flipping today. If you have one of our Bibles, it's page 866. But Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews was most likely written by Paul. And right here in chapter 11, starting in verse 1, Paul gives us one of the most succinct, concise, full pictures of what faith is. So if we need to understand what faith is, if faith is such an important piece of our journey as Christians, if faith is the role that we play in God saving us and God's grace upon us, we better know what it is. So let's see it. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So in one little sentence, Paul says, this is what faith is. It's being assured of what God says. It's knowing in your heart that who God is and what he says he is and what he says in his word is totally and fully true. Faith is taking God at his word and believing that it is full truth. Faith is taking God's promises and believing them as truth and knowing that they will come true. Faith is knowing that God is good and being assured of that. Faith is knowing that victory is coming even in the midst of the worst storms. Paul says, look, faith is simply this. You may not be able to see God, but you can see everything that he's done. You can see everything that he's created, and you can be assured that God is who he says he is. And beyond that, you can be assured by your faith that everything you hope for through God's word and God's promises are completely and totally true. Faith in a nutshell is believing all that God says in this world, in this word, no matter what the world tells you. No matter how the world tries to distract you, or no matter how the world tries to drag you down, it is believing that God's word is totally and entirely 100% true, and that what God says is truth, and what he says will happen. That is what faith is in our heads, and even in our hearts, and in our souls. Faith is believing what God says. But I actually think there's a little bit more to it than that. Because we see this word all throughout the Bible, don't we? Faith, 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 faith. But there's another word we see too. It's believing. And so if faith is only believing, then why do we have the word faith? And so Paul actually here in Hebrews, throughout this whole chapter 11, but we're going to look specifically about the verses about Abraham, he continues this thought on faith. Yes, thought is believing in your head. Faith is believing in your heart. It's believing in your soul. But what else is faith? Look down a few verses to verses 8 and 9. Speaking of Abraham, here we go. We're coming back to Abraham, just like in Romans 4. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So we see the story develop a little bit. I think when it comes to faith, a lot of times we only come half circle. I believe in God. I believe in the Creator. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus lived a perfect life. I believe all of these things, right? And we call that faith. Well, I don't think we complete the circle of our understanding of faith without understanding what Paul is trying to teach us here through Abraham. Abraham wasn't just a faithful man because he believed. Abraham was a faithful man because he put action. He put hands and feet to what he believed. That was the difference. And I don't know if you caught this or not, but we get a beautiful definition of what faith is here from Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed, ... and he went not knowing where he was going. God made him a promise. He made him a promise that he and his descendants and his family were going to inherit this land. And one day God said, pack your stuff up and go. And do you know what Abraham did? He went not knowing where he was going. Now, as Americans and as American Christians, we don't understand this idea at all. We don't hardly do anything without calculation. We don't do anything without research. We don't do anything without thinking. We don't do anything without praying about it. We have to know exactly where we're going. I'm standing here. If I take a step forward or back or right or left, where is it going to take me? I have to know, otherwise I'm not taking the step. Well, do you know the example of Abraham? God says, go. He doesn't even really know where he's going, and he just obeys because he takes God at his words. Now listen, don't let me talk you out of making good decisions or praying about important decisions, okay? When you have a big decision in your life, you do need to think about it and you do need to pray about it, but let me tell you something you don't need to pray about. If it says it in the Bible, if it tells you to do it in the Bible, you don't have to pray about that. When God told Abraham what to do, Abraham didn't challenge God. He didn't talk to God. He didn't pray to God. He didn't go ask for people's advice. He packed his stuff up and he went. Abraham was a man of faith, not because it was here or even here. Abraham was a man of faith because when it was here and when it was here, he went. That is the complete circle of faith that we can understand through Abraham. And I don't know if you caught this, but it even went on farther than that. It says he went out not knowing where he was going. Then God led him to this land. And when he got there, it wasn't even his. He and his family lived in tents on the land. That would be like if God called us to pick up our stuff and move. And we get down to LA or somewhere like where God is calling us to move to. And we look around and we're like, okay, God, this is mine. What am I supposed to do? And we just set up a tent in the park. Like, it wasn't as if Abraham in that very moment was perfectly rewarded for his faith. He just did exactly what God told him without asking any questions. That is a beautiful picture of faith from Abraham. That even when he didn't know where he was going, even though he didn't know where God exactly was going to lead him, he went. And church, that is where our faith needs to be. We need to be faithful people, even when we don't know where we're going. Do you know if you read this book and you do what it says, you won't know where you're going. God will take you places, into relationships, into other countries, into the mission field. He will do all kinds of stuff with your life, and you will have no idea where it's going except that you know that God will be in charge when you follow this book. But just practically speaking in our life, if we are day-to-day faithful people, they don't just say, I believe. They don't just think it, they do it. They're obedient when it's easy to disobey. They are men and women of integrity, even when a little white lie is easier. Men and women of faith are faithful to their spouses, even when they could get away with it. Men and women of faith do what's right even behind closed doors. Men and women of faith continue to give even when they don't feel like they have anything else to give. Men and women of faith love their neighbors even when they're unlovable. I could go on and on with that, but it's so important to understand that what God calls faith and how Paul defines faith, this is faith. Faith isn't just words. Faith isn't just something I think. Faith is putting what you believe totally and fully into action. Doing what God says, even when you don't know where it leads. Paul uses Abraham as an example because Paul did the very same thing. Think about when we were going through the book of Acts. Paul's going on all these journeys to all these places. God is just leading him from one place to another. He's just being faithful. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going to sleep the next night. Yet he keeps going on faith. And so Paul sees Abraham and he says, man, that is a man of faith. But listen, I don't want you just to take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself. So turn all the way back to Genesis. I want you to see what Paul is talking about for yourself. Genesis, we're going to go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I think if you have a pew Bible, it's all the way back at page like 8 or 10. It's at almost the very, very beginning. Genesis chapter 12. I want you to see this faith for itself. I want us to be able to walk out of here this morning with a practical, hands-on understanding of faith. What does faith look like? That's what we're going to see from Abraham. Now we're going to, Abraham right here in Genesis chapter 12, he's going to be called Abram. And there's a kind of a long story behind that. God changed his name later on to Abraham. But right now, when we read this name Abram, just think of it as Abraham, same guy, okay? Genesis 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now I know when we read verses like this, it's so easy to just read the one verse and think, okay, not a big deal. God looked Abraham in the eye, figuratively speaking, and he said, okay, leave your house, leave your family, leave your things, leave your country. Take only what you can carry and go. None of us could understand that today. We all love our perfect little houses and our perfect little community and our family. It's just all so great. We could never even begin to think God would call me to leave it. Well, that's what God did to Abraham. He says, leave your father, leave your family, leave your country. Take just what you can carry. Verse 2. And here's the promise. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. In him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram went. There it is. That's the picture of that practical, hands-on faith. Abram went. It doesn't say he said, well, but God, what if God, how come God, why? He didn't do any of that. God told me, I'm going. What he has in store for me is better than what I have here. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. If you want a simple picture of what faith looks like in 5 verses, look no farther. God speaks, I believe it, I act. That is such a beautiful, simple picture of faith. God speaks, I'm going to do it. God speaks, I'm going to do it. I believe this, then I am going to act upon it. Sometimes I think as Christians, we get stuck in the mud. Our feet get stuck in cement because we enjoy our lives. We enjoy the control that we think we have. We enjoy the comfort that we think we have. We enjoy the things that God has given us, and we appreciate them. But the picture of faith is that God speaks and we do. And the beautiful thing is that though God spoke straight to Abraham in these days, God is speaking straight to us today and every day through this word and through prayer and through a relationship with him. and our faith, our response to God, our response to his gift of salvation is to turn back to him in faith and act. But I don't want you to think this was just a one-time act for Abraham. Turn over just a few pages to Genesis chapter 22. I want you to see, Abraham wasn't just a one-song, one-hit wonder, okay? Like, Abraham was a man of faith for his entire life. And no greater place is Abraham's faith challenged than probably in Genesis chapter 22. Some are probably familiar with the story, some maybe aren't. We're going to read a good chunk of Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now again, a couple more verses where we think, oh, cool story from the Old Testament. Put yourself in Abraham's feet, in his shoes. God says, "Abraham, I want you to get Isaac, whom you love dearly, whom you have so much hope for, whom you hope is going to take over for you, who is going to cause your descendants to be numerous in all the land. Isaac, the one you've been waiting for and praying for, I want you to take him, Abraham, and I want you to put him on the back of a donkey, and I want you to take him out to the mountain that I'm going to show you." Again, it's kind of funny, Abraham's going somewhere where he doesn't know where he's going again, right? "And I want you to take his life and sacrifice him to me." Now, if there was ever a time where Abraham was going to back off from faith, it would have been this moment. "I'm not going there, God. Why, God? No way, God. Are you sure, God? What am I hearing, God? Why are you..." Look at what happens. Verse 3. "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac." He didn't delay. He got on the horse or the donkey, and he went. That's faith. God had Isaac in his hand. God had Isaac's life in his hand. Abraham had no control, yet Abraham goes. Continue on in that verse. "And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son." Abraham was going to go through with this. There is no doubt in my mind. You don't carry your son up the hill, put him on the wood, tie him up and pull up the knife and put it over his head if you're not going to go through with this. Abraham knew. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He knew, though, that God was going to come through because he had seen it time and time and time again. And just at that moment, it says in verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." From Abraham, it started back in Romans 4. Okay, this guy Paul knew what he was talking about. He wanted us to learn about faith not from him. He wanted us to learn about faith from Abraham. Because in Paul's eyes in that day, there was no man more faithful than Abraham. And he says, this is what faith looks like, ladies and gentlemen. You can think anything you want. You can believe anything you want. But if your feet aren't going, your hands aren't going, you're not putting action to what you believe, that is not faith. And so Paul says, this is faith. God says, go. I know you don't know where you're going, but go. And he goes. God says, take your son and put him on the altar. And Abraham takes him and puts him on the altar, ready to take his life. Church, that is faith. Faith is taking God at his word and acting upon it. You see, I think we're so good at one and oftentimes not so good at the other. I think we are so often good at, I love God's word, I read God's word, I believe God's word. God's word is the joy of my heart, but we miss the other element, the other piece of faith that says, then do something about it. Faith is about believing what this word says because it is God's word. We take this word as much as we would take God's audible word to us. We believe it and we act upon it as if the Creator himself spoke it to us. That's how Abraham lived. That's how numerous other people throughout the Bible lived. That's how Paul lived. Dare I even say, though Jesus kind of had some inside knowledge, I would say that this is even how Jesus lived. Faith in action, or my belief in action, is faith. I know the hardest thing for us, though, is we hold on to this element of control. Where am I going, God? Why are you taking me here? Why am I going through this? Why the pain? Why the struggle? Why this, God? We struggle so much with the what if. But realize, if we knew the answer to every question, it wouldn't be faith. If we knew the question to every answer, we would be faithless. Faith is taking a step towards God and where he is calling you to go, even when you don't know the answer. I feel like in some ways I've painted faith into a bad picture this morning. Because I'm telling you, just go, give it up, go. God will call you, you go, leave everything, never see anyone. I don't want to leave you with that picture. Because not only do I believe that faith is the piece that we play, and that our faith isn't just believing, but it's acting and it's going, but I believe that it is also the best that God has to offer. So I don't want you to leave this morning and think, man, I have to have faith, and if I have to have faith, these are the terrible, awful things that are going to happen to me. No, that's not the case. And so I have to take you one more place. Turn to the Gospel of John. If you have one of our Bibles, page 763. John 6:35. I want you to see this for yourself. That's why we didn't have it on the screen this morning. I want you to see this in your Bible for yourself. So faith is hearing the word of God. It's believing the word of God, and then it's acting upon it. But it's not sometimes good and sometimes bad. I don't want to paint that picture. Being faithful is never, ever, once, ever going to be bad. Hearing the word of God and doing what it says will never take you somewhere bad. And not only will it not take you somewhere bad, but being a faithful man or woman of God will only satisfy you all the more. And I want you to see that. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now I want you to see what's happening in this verse. He says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is calling himself. I am satisfaction. I am what will fill you up. I am what will quench your thirst. I am it. And so what do we do to be filled up and to be satisfied? Well, we have faith. He says it right here. He says, if you come to me, there's the action, and if you believe in me, you will always forever be satisfied. That is the beautiful treasure of faith. So don't let me let you walk out of here with an improper understanding of how beautiful faith is. He says the very same thing just a couple of verses later, or one chapter later. This is John 7:37-38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Okay. Faith isn't just a journey for better or for worse, okay? Faith isn't, I hope it's good today because it's going to be bad tomorrow. It's not that at all. When we choose to take God at his word, believe it, and then act upon it, faith will be the most satisfying thing that we have ever touched, seen, tasted, drank, or eaten. Faith will fill you up in ways that things that you think fill you up now never have filled you up before. Faith will fill up the greatest hunger. He will fill up the greatest thirst. Faith brings more heartfelt value in our lives, our world, and our families than anything else. And not only that, but faith is the greatest treasure that nothing in this world could ever come close to touching. So if we go back to Romans and we think of all of the places and things that Paul says faith is, faith brings righteousness. Faith counts us as righteous. Faith brings the gift of grace. Faith brings forgiveness. Faith brings us from being of something that has very little value to redeeming us into something that is of great value. Well, not only does faith do all of those things, but it is also the greatest treasure because it will give you more than you could ever believed you could have had otherwise. I feel like I've defined faith up and down and left and right in every direction this morning, but I feel like we've kind of landed on what faith is. And I think this is a long time journey of a question I couldn't answer no matter how long I had. But man, I hope that for all of us in here this morning, faith went from something as just half circle, I believe, I think, I hope, to I believe, I think, I hope, I act, I do. I believe that's what faith is, the full picture of it. I have this book. I believe God wrote it. I believe it is truth. And therefore, I'm going to do what it says. I think that is the greatest picture of faith that Paul gives us. Don't feel cheated this morning that we didn't get all the way through Romans 4, verse by verse by verse, because this is what Paul wanted us to understand, okay? He wanted us to understand what faith was, and that's what we did here this morning. And if you feel cheated we didn't get all the way through Romans 4, you can read it for yourself at home. We're going to go to a time of communion. It seems like every week we've been challenged by Scripture, particularly in the book of Romans. And so now I think I need to challenge every single one of us in one way or another about faith. There are a lot of people in this room that are similar to me, where I'm on this side of the circle. I just want to work and do and run 100 miles per hour, and I leave the believing behind. And sometimes I get so caught up in the work and the doing and in the action that I look back and I realize, man, I was doing all of that for what? And I'm missing the whole element of believing. And so in here this morning, if you're like that, if you're a doer, but you never stop and think about the believing and why I'm doing that, this morning you probably need to reflect on that and allow the Spirit to do a work in your heart in that. And then there's the flip side. And there's probably just as many of those as there are these. The ones who just, I believe it. I believe it. I believe the word. I believe what it says. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe the whole thing. But maybe you haven't come full circle into the acting, into the doing, into what God tells us to do in this book. And if that's you this morning, then you need to take some time to allow the Spirit to work in your heart as well. And I will have failed this morning if I don't offer this. If there's someone in this room this morning that you are on neither side of the faith journey, make today your day. God has so much to give. Jesus, so much to offer for those who say, I believe, and then put that belief into action. The free gift of grace and forgiveness. The act of making something that was nearly worthless, something of immeasurable value, of becoming a child of God himself, of becoming someone who was living in a dark and sinful life and immediately coming into the light of following Jesus. And so this morning I offer that to you too. So we're going to take a couple of minutes to go to communion. Take some time to pray. Take some time to be quiet. Take some time to allow the Spirit to work. Spirit will convict. Spirit will speak if you be quiet. And see what he has to say. Maybe you're on one side, you're on the other, maybe you're on none of the sides. Whatever it might be, allow the Spirit to work. As the Spirit convicts you of sin, Scripture says before we come to communion, we're supposed to come in a worthy manner. So just make sure as God is convicting you about struggles in your life, about mistakes in your life, about sin in your life, you're giving that up. God, forgive me. God, I want to turn from that. God, forgive me. And then after you've spent some time praying and you've spent some time being quiet and you've spent some time giving some things up to the Lord, then come up to communion when you're ready and take it back to your seat and take it. I'm going to pray. The worship team's going to come back up, take a couple of moments of quiet, and then we're going to finish up with a little bit of worship. Father, we can't even begin to say that we understand exactly where you're calling us or how you're calling us or where you're telling us to go. But Father, there is one thing you've given us, and it is your words. And so this morning, as we think about faith and believing and acting upon that faith, God, Lord, I pray that you would convict each person in this room this morning the way that they need to be convicted. Wherever they're at in their life, whatever place they're at in their faith, God, I pray you would begin to bring them full circle. Father, we talk about these things, we think about these things, we read your word for only one reason. It is because of your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, now in this time as we're digesting what Paul said and what we see in Abraham's life about faith, God, may you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And remember, it is only because of him that we even have an opportunity to be faithful. And Father, in these moments, may we remember your Son. May we remember his body broken. May we remember his blood spilled for the forgiveness of our sin. Father, I know there are hearts in this room that hurts. I know there are bodies in this room that hurt. I know that there are people who are struggling. There are people that are feeling lost, people that are feeling unsure. Father, I pray that in all of those things, that they would turn to you in faith, believing the good that you have for them, God, and that they would act upon it. Thank you for being a great God, a wonderful, merciful, and graceful Savior. And Lord, we thank you for the Spirit who is working in each one of our hearts even now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.